You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. We're so glad you've decided to join us. To discover more about LMC, visit us online at lifeministry.church. Today's message comes from Senior Pastor Graham Nelson. We pray that it encourages you in your faith journey.
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your goodness and your grace. And as Andy said today, it's all about giving you glory. It's all about honoring you. It's all about worshiping you. And Lord, as we've sung, as we've, Father, just starting to recognize the busyness of the season, I pray that we would just take time out right now just to rest, to relax. And Lord God, to allow you to presence yourself in our midst. Father, I thank you that we have families in church this morning. I thank you for our kids. I thank you for the richness of family. I thank you for this day, the busyness of this day, but this day where tonight we host, Lord God, so many on the property where we sing carols, where we again just recognize and remember. Lord God, we don't want it to be just something that we do out of form. We know it's tradition. We know it's the timing. But Lord God, we want to do it because we love you. We honour you and we want to lift you high. And in doing that, we pray that you would draw people to yourself. So we just give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I have the privilege of sharing week two of this year's Christmas series titled Crown Him. And I love that title, Crown Him. And when you consider we've had the theme Worship the One, we are crowning the one that we are worshipping. Last week, Steph shared on the kingship of Christ. It was a great message. And as always, if you missed it, please catch up on the podcast or watch the YouTube clip. This morning, I've been given the title to share glory in the highest. I remember Pastor Oxy once said to me, you know, if you ever get asked to share on something and it's too hard for you, then just say the title a couple of times and you've already shared on it, and then you can go on to whatever you want to go on to. Now, I'm not going to do that today, but I will do a couple of diversions, I promise you. In the account of Jesus' birth in Luke, we read this in Luke 2. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." And there's so many great words in this, for all people. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." By the way, does anyone know what a swaddling cloth is? I was wrung this week and I had to do a Google search to find it out. A swaddling cloth is a cloth that you wrap your baby up in. It's just like a baby wrap. I don't know why they just didn't say baby wrap. It would have been far easier. But then I looked a little further and I found that swaddling is where you wrap a baby up really tight so it doesn't cry. And if it does cry, wrap it tighter. And just keep rapping until it stops crying. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And then we move on 33 and a half years later into the week leading up to Jesus' crucifixion. And again we read in Luke this, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you why you are untying it, you shall say this, 'The Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to him," or said to them, "'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.' And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. And he was drawing near, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.'" And now for us, some 2,000 plus years later, we are encouraged by David to do this. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, and that heavenly beings is not angels, that's us, sons of God. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. And again, where it says to worship him in the splendor of holiness, it's really saying to worship him in holy attire, to worship him with our robes of righteousness on, our garments of praise on, our armor on, to worship in the holy attire that he has given us. And then if that is not enough encouragement to give God glory, glory in the highest, we read in Revelation what is happening right now in the heavens. In Revelation 4, it says, and whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, so we know it's Jesus, the 24 elders fall down before him. They cast their crown before the throne, saying, worthy are you, O Lord, or our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Did you notice that it's whenever? Whenever they come before the one on the throne. Not sometimes, not when they feel like it, not when they've received something that they want to give thanks for, but whenever the living creatures come before the one who sits on the throne forever and ever, they give glory and honor. They fall down before him and they worship him. They cast their crowns before the throne and they confess, they say with a loud voice, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things and by your will they exist and were created. Pastor Paul, in our Revelation Deep Dive series, said this about laying down crowns. He says, there is in the presence of God a very clear and very decisive understanding as it relates to those who are worthy or truly worthy to wear a crown. And even though God rewards us with crowns, and that we will know that we will wear our crowns in response to the faithfulness that we have given to him in our life, he's the only one who's truly worthy. And so as we stand in his presence, what are we going to do with our crowns? Of course, we will take them off with the attitude, I don't deserve to wear this. You are the only one who deserves to wear a crown. So I was thinking about this as I was preparing. You know, there's a pattern in this passage in Revelation, a pattern that would be good to put in practice as we give glory to God in the highest. As we come daily, as we come on Sundays, as we come into the presence of God, there's a pattern that can be followed here. Not a legalistic, ritualistic pattern, but something that we want to do. Something we want to do because all of a sudden we've had our eyes opened and understood and stand what God wants of us as we follow the pattern that is happening right now in the heavenlies. The pattern of falling down, I think, represents for me anyhow the posture of my heart when I come before God. A posture of humility, a posture of honor, a posture of recognizing how holy our God is and how blessed we are that his Son came that we might be saved, that we might to enjoy presence with him for eternity. Then the next one is the casting down of crowns. Again, casting our crowns is an indicator or a sign of respect, a sign of honor, a sign of humility when it comes before God. You know, God in his grace gives us rewards. He doesn't have to, he just does because he loves us. But then when we become before him, it's not out of pride that we wear our crowns. It's not out of, hey, look at me. Oh, you've only got 3 crowns. I've got 5. It's, God, we cast them down. For all unworthy to be in your presence. Yet you've boldly opened the way that we might come in. When I was a young man, men never wore a hat in the presence of a lady. If you were wearing a hat, and hats were really big. When I was a kid growing up, most men wore hats. If a man came into the presence of a lady, a man would take his hat off. You definitely didn't wear a hat inside a church or even in any building for that. As you entered in the door, you took your hat off. Or if you're in the presence of a dignitary, you took your hat off. You don't see anybody ever wearing a hat in front of the king or the queen. In fact, when the king was being, or at his coronation, everybody, even Camilla, had her crown on her lap. Crowns come off. It's like that when we come before God. We lay our crowns down with an attitude. I don't deserve to wear this. You are the only one who deserves to wear this crown. And then as they started to sing out and speak out their praise, I thought about, it's out of the heart the mouth speaks. What are we speaking? What are we saying? What is our heart attitude towards our God? You know, it's pretty hard to sing some of these songs if our heart and our attitude are not right before God. So the next aspect of giving glory in the highest that I want to open up is the way that we live our lives. Because we can be like whitewashed sepulchres. We can be looking good on the outside and pretty horrible on the inside. Yet if we're really going to give God glory in the highest, then our actions or the way that we live our lives are going to speak louder than the words that we say. It's not only what we say, but the way that we live out our lives that gives God the glory due to him. And God, again, in his grace and in his mercy and his beauty, obviously sees this as important. Because as I said a few minutes ago, there are 5 eternal rewards which the Bible describes as crowns, which we are given from God depending on how we live our lives. These are crowns that we, as I've said again, will ultimately lay down at his feet. The feet of our Saviour, the feet of our King, the feet of our Lord. As we come into that heavenly realm ourselves. Now I've done this or spoken about these crowns once before, probably 4 or 5 years ago. I can't remember when now, but you probably didn't remember or you weren't listening, so you're going to get it again. The first crown that we gain as a reward is known as the imperishable crown or the incorruptible crown. In Corinthians it says, "Do you not know that in a race all runners run? But only one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath. But we run our race to receive an imperishable crown." So Paul says, "I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body. I keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." How are you running the race? Everything on earth is subject to decay. Everything on earth will perish. The Bible tells us this. And this is what Paul is saying in this text about the wreath. It'll soon turn to brittle. You know, you can get a reward for running a good race, but ultimately, you can't take it to heaven. But that's not the case with the imperishable crown. that we receive because of faithful endurance, crown because of self-denial, a crown because of laying flesh down. So the imperishable crown is awarded to those who demonstrate self-denial, who demonstrate perseverance, who are consistently bringing their flesh under control, control, refusing to be enslaved by their sinful nature. You know, as I went through these crowns and as I meditated on them over the last week, you know, I was thinking, God, how am I going? Have I won that crown? Do I deserve that crown? And unfortunately, I didn't come up too good, I didn't think. I don't deny myself enough. I don't lay flesh down enough. See, flesh is always trying to rise up. Because sin is in the flesh, the Bible says. But when we're led by the Spirit, we do not live after the flesh. And so it's more about obedience to the Spirit that I think God is looking at. Following what the Spirit is telling us to do in self-denial. The second crown is the crown of rejoicing. In 1 Thessalonians, after all, what gives us hope and joy and what will be our proud reward? A crown of rejoicing. It is you, our Lord, as we stand before you when we return. Luke tells us that there is rejoicing in heaven. In Luke it says, I tell you, there'll be no more joy in heaven over one sinner who there'll be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance. The crown of rejoicing is given to those who are faithful in declaring the gospel, to those who are involved in discipleship, teaching, and equipping. Now, again, you might rank yourself on that, and you might be like me. I can only remember ever leading 4 people to Christ. That's personally not someone coming to an altar call, not someone coming into church, but actually praying for 4 people that I have witnessed to. Now, the Bible says that God is the only one wise enough to win souls. I don't have to win souls, so I'm not going to beat myself up about it. I know that I can witness. I know that my life is a witness to those around, I hope. But oftentimes we think, oh, no, that's the evangelist's job to do that. So only the evangelists are going to win this crown. Well, that's not true. It's not true because the Bible says that we have all been given the ministry of reconciliation. In fact, it says that we are ambassadors for him. You can put a flag up in your front yard and call it the ambassador's residence if you wish. We are ambassadors of Christ because we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. In 2 Corinthians 5, it says, all this is from God who through Christ reconciled us to himself and has given us all the ministry of reconciliation. And so if we've all got the ministry of reconciliation, we've all got the ability of being by God to witness Christ to others. And only God is the wise enough to win souls, I said. So we might be the sowers. We might be the waterers, but we are something. You know, I heard something brilliant the other day. I was interviewing a lady for a position down at Oxy Kids. And as I do when I'm interviewing all the staff that come on our property, I ask them to share their journey of faith with me. And this lady who says she comes here, she might be here today. I hadn't met her before, said she'd only been coming to the church a short time. But she'd had her 2 children in Oxy Kids, and one was in Oxy College at this present stage, and one was still in Oxy Kids. And she said to me that I became a Christian because my daughter at 2.5 was telling me about Jesus that she was learning at Oxy Kids. And I thought, man. So I asked her a bit more, and man, she gave me the gospel. This little kid, 2.5 years old, was sharing faith with her mum. And out of that, her mum gave her heart to Jesus. And now her mum is employed sharing her faith to students. What a fantastic thing. I think that's worth a clap. So all of us have the ability of receiving the crown of rejoicing. The next crown is the crown of righteousness. It says, I have fought a good and worthy and noble fight. I've finished the race. I have kept the faith, firmly guarding the gospel against error. In the future, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, for being right with God and doing right, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved and longed for and welcomed his appearing. The crown of righteousness is awarded to those who can say, I have finished the race. I have fought a good and worthy and noble fight, and I've kept the faith. These awardees desire intimacy with God right to the end. You know, we're not, excuse me, grey nomads. We're not the grey nomads who all of a sudden grab their superannuation, buy a caravan and a car, sell the house and say, I've done my job. I'm going to spend their inheritance now. Okay, it's for life that we're parents and grandparents. Our witness is for life. And that is what it is here. It is for life that we serve God. It is for life that we run the race. I have finished my race and I've stayed true to what it is that you call me to. And then the fourth one is the crown of life. Blessed, happy, spiritually prosperous, favored by God is the man who is steadfast under trial and perseveres when tempted. For when he has passed the test and been approved, he will receive the victor's crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. In Revelation it says, do not fear any of those things which come upon you or which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison. Yum. That you might be tested. Be faithful unto death, and then I will give you the crown of life. When we endure the inevitable trials, the inevitable tribulations that are going to come our way, rather than being downcast, let's look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, that we might receive the crown of life. You know, I don't know of anyone in the Bible bar Job that really, really, really went through it. And when Pastor Mark shared some weeks ago about Job, I thought that was the most brilliant message in packing a book into such a concise way. But the thing about Job is that he never, ever, ever buckled under the trials and temptations. And of course, God, in God's grace and mercy and love, restored to him double-fold what he started off with. In our case, we get a crown of life. So the crown of life is promised to those who are steadfast under trials, who persevere when tempted and bravely confront persecution for Jesus. Jesus said, be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you a crown of life. And the last crown is the crown of glory. 1 Peter says, so I exhort the elders among you, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. This reward is promised to those who faithfully shepherd God's sheep in unselfish love, who live a life being a good example to others, who keep the requirements spelled out in this text. And again, as I mused on this, and I thought of, obviously, our own church, our own eldership, and then other churches. And I thought of other ministers that had fallen or sadly walked away. I thought, God, is it only just elders, pastors, shepherds that you're talking to here? And I believe that we could go a lot further. And I don't think I'm adding to Scripture. You check me out if you wish. Because I believe that as parents, we are shepherds of sheep, God's sheep. As leaders, we are shepherds of God's sheep. As role models, we are shepherds of God's sheep. Someone is looking to us, watching us. And so, parents, I give you a challenge. How are you shepherding your family? How are you leading the flock that God has given to you as well? And of course, that doesn't take away the fact that we, on the ministry team and the eldership of Life Ministry Church, have a responsibility, which I can honestly say we take very seriously, because we know the responsibility. And if you want to know what it's like, think about the reward that God gives to those who don't shepherd the sheep properly, but scatter the sheep. He says, "What sorrow awaits the leaders of my people, the shepherds of my sheep, for they have destroyed and scattered the very ones that they are expected to care for," says the Lord. Let's take our responsibility of being role models seriously. I don't want to be one of those that has a millstone hung around my neck because somebody fell away. And if I have caused that, I'm sorry. Sorry. So as I come to a close, I'd like us to end this morning joining in worship the multitudes around the throne who are giving God the glory. I'd like the worship team, if they wouldn't mind, to come. Revelation 5 says, "Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands upon thousands." I did the math, so you don't have to worry about it. It's 100 million plus thousands of thousands, all bowing, all laying down their crowns, all singing in adoration and praise to our Lord Jesus, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord God, worthy to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were existed." Can I ask you to stand, and I'd like to pray this prayer over you today. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would run a race of endurance, a race of self-denial, rejoicing as we see people coming to know you as their Savior, people growing in maturity. May we be able to say, "I have finished my race, having fought a good, worthy, and noble fight, firmly guarding your word." God, may you strengthen us that we would be able to endure persecution and suffering as your Son did for us. Help us to be shepherds over those that you want us to feed and protect. God, we look forward to that day that we will bow before you, saying, laying down those crowns that you reward us with. Today we join with the multitudes who worship and glorify you on earth. We say, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." Amen. Let's worship our God today.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. If you'd like to hear more inspiring messages from Life Ministry Church, or you would like to know more about us, including service times, events, or what following Jesus is all about, be sure to visit us online at lifeministry.church. Thanks again for listening.